Heavenly Father, whose praise is in the church, uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that we may adore you with pure hearts and worship you with joyful lips. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Acknowledging that we stand, forgive me, we'll begin with the invocation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acknowledging that we stand in the presence of our holy God, we humble ourselves and in true repentance confess our sins. Jesus Christ himself has been punished for your sins. God the Father has placed upon him the iniquity of us all. According to his authority and by his command, I announce to you the divine decree of our God that all of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the Passion History lesson, which is a compilation of the four gospel accounts of our Lord's Passion and suffering. We're on the fifth lesson, page 13, if you have a booklet. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Soldiers of the governor led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together and gathered around him the whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it, and they struck him with their hands. And when they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and sent again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off of him and put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him. And he, bearing the cross, went out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. They compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which is translated Calvary, the place of a skull. And when they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. He did not take it. So far, our Passion History reading, we continue with the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, as it's printed in your folder. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's text is written in Leviticus chapter 23, including verses, selected verses between verses 33 and 42. Forgive me, 33 to 43. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days, is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege to bring you a gospel message in the name of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, dear fellow redeemed. We see Jesus giving us eternal life. Over the past several weeks, we've heard some somewhat obscure Old Testament texts, many of them having to do with the ceremonial laws that applied to the Old Testament Jews. We know we're free, though, from festivals, from new moons, from Sabbaths, from dietary laws, from all those things. But we've also seen a lot of parallels of the sacrificial symbolism to our Lord Jesus. We've seen those things jump out at us from those texts. You know, God made the children of Israel odd, from their dress and their worship, to their circumcision and their civil laws, even aspects of their grooming. God built kind of a virtual fence around his people by making them different, strange to their neighbors. The purpose of that differentness was to preserve his people, to preserve the promise and the line of the coming Savior, Jesus. From our perspective and with our eyes of faith, it's easy to see Jesus. And throughout the Old Testament, even in the more unlikely spots. Tonight's text is about one of the great festivals of the Jewish church year. It was called the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, as the old King James had it. People traveled to God's house for this annual celebration, much like you may remember Jesus and his parents when he was 12, traveling to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, for Passover, I should say. This festival began and ended with a convocation, a holy gathering for worship. The festival included many offerings of food to the Lord, in addition to all the regular sacrifices that were on the schedule. The most distinctive feature, though, of this week-long church celebration was that the people were to live in temporary dwellings, like tents made out of vegetation that our text calls booths. What was the purpose of this festival? Well, we don't have to guess at it because we have heard it in the text. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I brought them out of Egypt, God says. God's people were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. They had no freedom. They had no say in how they were ruled or how they would live or whether they would die. But God freed them from that. He brought them out of Egypt. He chose Moses, a man who had been raised and educated in Pharaoh's court, but then tempered with the nomadic life of a shepherd. God chose Moses then to go to Pharaoh and deliver his message, which was, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh kept saying no. And Egypt kept suffering plague after plague. And they'd suffer a plague, and Pharaoh would say, "Okay, okay, you can go." And then Pharaoh would change his mind. And then after the sixth plague, God began changing Pharaoh's mind for him. God began hardening his heart. Finally, the plague of the firstborn came. And it took the very prince of Egypt. And every firstborn in every house, and every firstborn among the livestock of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh finally said, "You guys get out of here." And of course, he then changed his mind and pursued. And in a great act of deliverance, God swallowed up the Egyptian army by collapsing the Red Sea upon them after his children had walked through it on dry land. The people of Israel were free. They were in the wilderness. They slept in tents. But they were not afraid. They were given food, water, shelter, protection, guidance, leadership. They had peace, knowing that God would one day send a Savior to pay for their sins. And meanwhile, they were safe. God even made it so their shoes didn't wear out during their wandering and their journey in the wilderness. So Jews would remember that time during the Feast of Booths. They'd sleep under the stars in tacked up frameworks covered by branches and leaves for a week every year. To remember where they'd been, to be sure, but also to remember who had delivered and protected them and who it was who would keep on providing, protecting, and rescuing them every day unto everlasting life. The God who brought them out of the land of Egypt would also bring them into the promised land of heaven one day, when the Messiah would announce their sins are forgiven, when the true Lamb of God, not that Passover figure, but the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, would be sacrificed once for all people on the cross. We see Jesus giving us eternal life. Because as bad as slavery in Egypt was, we all suffer from worse slavery, that is, apart from Christ, we would. Apart from Christ, we were slaves to sin, doomed to eternal suffering in hell, after our brief struggle here on this sin-stained planet. And that justly, not unjustly. God is just. For our inherited sin from our parents and the many sins we commit every day. This festival of booths seems to say, look how good you Jews have it. You live in nice homes, warm and waterproof, and secure. Live outdoors for a week, or more or less outdoors, to remind you of your wanderings in the wilderness. When you wandered in the wilderness, you could look back to your slavery in Egypt. When Pharaoh grew fearful of the Jewish nation and killed your children and forced you to make bricks without straw and you grew hungry and weak, remember. But it says something else. It says this world and its trappings are all temporary. Your nice split level, your nice ranch home, your cozy, double wide, your two-bedroom apartment. It's all temporary. It's all short-term. It's all fragile. A fragile tent that really isn't anything proof. There is a permanent home for you. One that you inherited, that was paid for by the blood of your dear brother Jesus on the cross. There, no moth destroys, no rust degrades. There is a permanent dwelling, not made with hands. A home where there is no crying and no tears. When Jesus breathed his last and said, "It is finished," the price was paid, and now you have been reconciled, brought back together with God the Father. That righteous judge judges you righteous for Christ's sake. By faith in his Son, you are sons and daughters of the King, princes and princesses in the kingdom of God for Jesus' sake, because there he rules in your hearts. For us then, this life is kind of like the feast of Tabernacles or booths, kind of like what it was for the Old Testament Israelites. As they looked back and saw, remembered God delivering them from their enemy in Egypt, we look back and see Jesus delivering us and freeing us from our spiritual enemies. And as the Israelites in the wilderness looked forward to moving out of those tents and entering permanent homes in Canaan, in the land that God had promised them. And as the Israelites in later years, who lived in Canaan but still celebrated this festival, they look forward to moving out of their temporary feast of booth tents at the end of the 8 days and back into their comfortable permanent homes. We look forward to moving out of these tents, these temporary homes, these 70 or 80, if we have the strength, year tents that God has given us, and moving into our permanent homes in the place that God has prepared and that Jesus won for us. In the meantime, we sing with the hymn writer, "Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home. Ah, then my spirit faints to reach the land I love, the bright inheritance of saints, Jerusalem above. Forever with the Lord, O Father, 'tis thy will. The promise of that faithful word, e'en here to me fulfill." Amen. Please rise. I'll direct your attention to the sung response hymn there after the sermon in your folder.
Thank you.
Please rise. We pray. Son of the living God and true Son of Man, your love for us sinners reached its height when you willingly bore the pain and shame of the cross to save us from everlasting death. Strengthen our faith that we always treasure the love with which you loved us in making yourself an offering for our sins. Enable us through the Spirit to follow the example of your love and humility by doing what pleases our Father in heaven. Teach us to be loving and merciful, so that we gladly help those who are in need and show patience and forgiveness toward those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be discouraged from such crosses as you may call upon us to bear for your name's sake. Give us boldness to confess your name as our Lord and Savior before an ungodly world and nation. While we live here, cause sadness, sickness, persecution, and every trouble we are called to endure. Cause these things to purify our faith and draw us closer to you. Throughout our lives, you are the source of earthly blessings, and you have richly blessed us with the comfort of forgiveness and a certain hope of eternal life in heaven. For these and other blessings without number, we thank and praise your name. Holy Redeemer, forgive our sin, every instance of our failing, to let your cross and your love shine forth in our lives. Cause your saving name to be preached in all the world. Open every heart to accept and worship you as Lord and Savior. Teach sinners in every land to lay their burden of sin at the foot of your cross and to look only to you for pardon and help and healing. Hear us for the glory of your name, as we also pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.